Madden Monday on Trib Live. Tim Benz along with Mark Madden from 105.9 The X. You can read him four times a week in Trib Live. Listen to him 3 until 6 on The X Monday through Friday. Not this week. I'm in for Mark a bunch this week. Mark's going on vacation, a pre-holiday vacation. The Steelers seem to still have a pulse on their season, although I think they're out of it for the playoff mix, but that hasn't stopped a lot of Steelers fans on Twitter from talking themselves into still being alive.
I mean, they're very good at fooling themselves. Steeler fans are, so whatever they want to say, that's what they're going to say. But they're 5-7. These two wins in a row, albeit on the road, narrow wins over bad teams. They nearly blew each of the games in the second half. They only scored 3 touchdowns total in the 2 games. So I see this as just a matter of, you know, winning some bad football games, not a renaissance, not a new beginning to the season.
And Mark, potentially playing themselves out of a top draft selection. Although I don't blame NFL teams for not tanking. It's the hardest sport, I think, to tank in. But they might wind up in that stay middle, draft middle black hole that you so often reference.
Yeah, but it is hard to tank. You can't, I mean, I don't think players tank in any sport. I think it has to be done by the GM with roster manipulation, by the coach through poor coaching. And I think coaches are loath to visibly do that because they could end up on the unemployed end of that stick. As far as playing their way out of a good draft pick, I mean, they just are what they are, Tim. I mean, I don't know how to describe it without being cliched and repetitive. They're just a mediocre football team. And maybe they're a little better than we all thought. And their record's a little better than I thought it would be right now, given the way they started the season. I didn't think they'd win these last 2 games. I thought they'd probably split. But then again, I look at the 2 teams and I'm not surprised. They just are exactly what they are. I don't see the progress being made by this team, though. I don't see the progress being made as a team. I don't see the progress being made individually. Case in point, the win in Atlanta. Pickett threw 28 passes. The Steelers ran the ball 37 times. They possessed the ball 33 minutes. They kicked 4 field goals. That might be the formula for winning in 1970. It just doesn't work now. It's outdated. You know, the Steelers aren't expanding what they do. Instead, they're scratching and clawing to get wins that just don't matter, that like you said, will drop them down the draft board.
The only thing I'll take umbrage there, Mark, to what you said, is it does win in 2022 in the NFL with the schedule that the Steelers have. They've been able to use that formula to beat bad opponents. They are getting some breaks again in the second half of the season, as they did at times last year with injuries to quarterbacks, with soft teams. But like, for instance, the Raiders all of a sudden look competent. They're going to score some points. Are the Steelers going to be able to score points late in the season against the Raiders, even if they get by Baltimore with Tyler Huntley at quarterback instead of Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, do we know that Lamar Jackson's out next week? How bad is that injury?
One of the more strange coaching quotes or head coach quotes regarding an injury that I've heard, John Harbaugh says it could be days to weeks. So if it's days to weeks, I'm going to assume it's not the next 7 days and not this week.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to win enough games ever. And I think that if you're, you know, trying to rebuild, although they never use that word, but they certainly are breaking in a rookie quarterback, that you got to try to, you know, again, that word, expand the way you play and try to come into line with what wins in today's NFL, and not just against Atlanta or against Indianapolis, the bad teams they've beaten. You look at Pickett. Everybody's saying this is a great game by Pickett. He was 16 for 28, 197 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. How's that a great game, Tim? You tell me. He's not making plays. He's a game manager. He's getting close wins over bad teams, no quick strike inclination. It's just, I don't understand where people say he's playing well, where he's improving. I just don't understand that.
I think he's improving in the sense that he's taking care of the ball better, and I think that he's improving in the sense he's getting a better sense of the pocket. He's not running into sacks, and when he's running, he's doing so with more of a purpose as opposed to panic. As far as being the reason why the Steelers have been winning, no, it's been more about the run game. It's been more about the defense, and I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud. It's been more about the offensive line.
Yeah, the O-line's played okay. No question about that. But I mean, Tim, think about what you're saying. It's about the run game. It's about the defense. It's 2022. That's not how you win now. Not against good teams. And maybe they don't play any good teams the rest of the year. Maybe they will go 10-7. I just don't see the improvement. I just don't see groundwork being laid.
I think the winning is what is clouding people's view of the expansion of what Pickett's done since the bye. They've won a bunch since the bye. He's been in there since the bye. It's correlated. But again, I wouldn't say that it's been the biggest catalyst as to why they've won. And that's where the line is getting blurred here in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it might continue to get blurred if Lamar Jackson can't play.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's just,
yeah.
You know, it's crazy. But I mean, I just don't see it coming to any good. I don't see it coming to a winning season. I don't see it coming to a playoff berth. I just see it coming to a worse draft pick.
Mark, let's go back to one.
I mean, Kim, let me put you on the spot. I mean, when I cite Pickett statistics, don't I make a point? When I cite the lack of touchdown score, the lack of touchdown passes, don't I make a point?
You make a point that the progress isn't as much as his sycophants are making it out to be, but I don't think that you can make a blanket statement of there's no progress being made, because the floor was a lot lower coming out of that Eagles game and going in the bye.
I don't know. I mean, you're right. Maybe I don't truly understand how bad they are, and maybe I'm not truly willing to accept mediocre play as progress. So maybe I'm just not good at defining what they were in the first place.
Maybe you've forgotten how bad they truly were against Philadelphia and Buffalo when they saw good teams.
Well, yeah, but Tim, not only that, but Kenny Pickett's 24. He played 5 years. I mean, and we're supposed to embrace baby steps taken by the first quarterback taken in the draft?
Well, listen, Mark, that's where you and I definitely agree on this, is that what we're seeing right now is what I thought would be the so-called high floor for Pickett if he started game one or two, as opposed to where he is now midway through the season after getting the bulk of the time at quarterback. Like, if you told me that these would be his first 4 or 5 games, I'd say, okay, and then I would expect more by season's end, but we had to change our eye level when he came in and clearly he wasn't as polished for the NFL as we were led to believe coming out of Pitt after being there for so long.
Don't you think it's merely a matter of Steeler fans and the Steeler media seeing what they want to see and exaggerating everything?
For sure, especially from a fan point of view, they always want to talk themselves into being in it. And I think from a media point of view, too, people want to talk their coverage into sounding like it's more important it not happening in a vacuum of a couple months before draft order is figured out.
Yeah, I just don't see the improvement, and I keep getting told I'm wrong, and I don't think I'm wrong.
Mark, you brought up bad coaching before. That's helped the Steelers 2 weeks in a row. Arthur Smith didn't exactly bathe himself in glory with his timeout management. Maybe not as egregious as Jeff Saturday last week, but pretty close.
Tim, tell me when a coach does manage the clock well. Then we could talk about it. You almost see nobody managing the clock well. I'm fond of saying that there's only one coach in NFL history that's managed the clock well, and that was Mike Shanahan. And if that's an exaggeration, it's not a huge one.
The Falcons, I thought, did what we've seen. You kind of alluded to this in your opening comments. If we're talking about coaching, though, I want to put a spotlight on the Steelers coming out of halftime, because this is the third game in a row where the other team has played better in the second half.
Yeah, well, there's that, too. And Tim, this is off the topic, but why is T.J. Watt on the sideline with the game on the line in the fourth quarter?
I don't know if it was the ribs. He reached on the tackle attempt before he went to the sideline. I don't know if he thought he aggravated the pec or what, but he did come back in. I don't know what it was. I didn't see any comments from him afterwards, and I don't know if anybody talked to him after he only had 3 tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Tim, you know what? I'm going to go in the other direction. They're a great team, and I think they'll make the playoffs.
Just embrace that concept moving forward until it doesn't happen?
Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to like accept that T.J. Watt's great when he's done nothing since coming back from injury. I don't know how to say that Kenny Pickett's doing great when he didn't even throw for 200 yards. Again.
it's actually become a real surprise to me that they've managed to win these games without Watt's influence, because they've looked so bad without Watt in the past. I just think that's a further indictment of who they've played and how feckless the offenses have been on the other side of the ball.
Tim, I don't think it's a change in expectations. I think it's a refusal by Steeler fans and media to accept numbers as they are. Like, I just can't look at Kenny Pickett's stat line today and say he played well. I can't do it.
You know who else didn't play well were any of the receivers. The tight ends were good. The receivers were terrible.
I never thought I'd see the day when a Deontay Johnson drop saved the Steelers.
How about that? I was thinking about that while that review was going on during a commercial break. I'm like, this is the first time in history we're actually sitting around in Pittsburgh saying, gosh, I hope Deontay Johnson dropped the ball. And he didn't, by the way. That was a fumble.
Yeah, it was a fumble. It was one of those deals where if you put it in slow motion, you get the wrong call.
Right, because by the naked eye and this idea of this blurred line of what is or is not a football move in the space-time continuum as to when the football is secured, I didn't need to look at that 24 times to say he caught the ball and started moving with it and then fumbled it. That should have been a fumble. In the grand scheme of things, the bigger deal was the overturn on the touchdown thanks to penalty eventually. But he stunk, and George Pickens didn't do anything and pouted the whole game.
Yeah. The only receivers they're using properly consistently are tight ends.
Freiermuth was good, and then he got locked down in the second half. Hayward had the big surprise touchdown, which was a nice storyline and a nice play. Actually, Mark, even on that play, I thought that Kenny Pickett might have overthrown him.
I feel like I'm picking everything apart, not finding any joy in them winning a game. But that's exactly what I'm doing, because I get more frustrated when they win because I feel it's an inaccurate depiction of what they have and what they do.
Would you rather talk about the Penguins and how they won and Binnington melting down?
That was crazy, huh? Jordan Binnington, he's nuts.
He's got a little Henrik Lundqvist in him, doesn't he?
Oh, no, he's worse than that. He's like this all the time. He's a bad guy, according to people.
When even Berube is calling him out in the post-game comments, you know there's something there, right?
Yeah, and the other day he body-checked Jordan Staal when they played Carolina.
No, he tried to body-check Jordan Staal.
Oh, right, he got run over. But, yeah. He initiated the contact.
Right.
And, goalies get a certain dispensation from referees and opponents because they're goalies. And it's like he's volunteering to give up that dispensation.
That's a strange, streaky team in St. Louis. Then again, the Pens are kind of streaky, too. But I'll give them credit for adjusting on the fly and not falling apart without Letang so far.
Well, yeah, the St. Louis game helped because St. Louis just is a slow team. They're one of the few teams that still make the Penguins look lightning quick. I still think they need to call Ty Smith up from Wilkes because he's not Letang, but he plays like Letang. He has some of the same skill set that Letang does. So I guess there's no way to do that because of the cap, but I would certainly like to see that. I just don't think plopping in Chad Ruedel for Chris Letang is enough. That said, POJ played his two best games of the year these last two games in Letang's absence, and he didn't do what Letang does, but he did some things better.
Can it be, Mark, that when it comes to the cap, does that come into their planning it all with Letang and LTIR to free up some money? Or do they just kind of keep their fingers crossed, wait for a more clear diagnosis, and try to put Letang back in as fast as they can? I'm confused as to how they might approach that.
I don't think it's like Tampa Bay with Kucherov, if that's what you're implying, when they manipulated the cap when he returned.
Not that they manipulated. No, I'm not saying manipulated. I'm just saying, that's an out. If they want to bring him up, they can. If they decide to put him on LTIR, I don't think it's manipulation when you're talking about a guy with a stroke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think Letang's return and what they do with him on LTIR will be governed totally by his health and what doctors recommend.
Have you heard anything further about the residue of this, at least on his psyche and his approach to hockey, if nothing else? Is this still kind of, as we've heard, his mentality being that this could happen to me if it's happening to me when I'm not playing hockey and it's not hockey related, then I should keep playing hockey?
Well, I saw him at the rink last night. He's at the rink every night. So I think he's anxious to play. I just think he's a guy who lives the game.
Aside from the Ty Smith thing, then, how do they jump from lily pad to lily pad without him? What do you do if that's not an option for the time being?
Just play. I mean, you can't coerce somebody to play like Chris Letang. And we should keep in mind that Ty Smith's not a typical minor leaguer. He's the guy who made the all-rookie team with the Devils a couple years ago and would be with the team this year if not for the cap corner that Ron Hextall painted the Penguins into. And I know Kasperi Kapanen had a hat trick against St. Louis, but that doesn't mean that giving him that deal and putting the Penguins in that cap hell was the right move.
I'd say, where the hell is this coming from with Kapanen? But I know he's going to the net.
Yeah, it just and I feel very strongly he'll stop doing it after a certain point. He wants to play how he wants to play. Desperation of being benched drove him to do something he doesn't normally do. If he keeps doing it, so much the better. He actually showed some good instincts around there and some nice touch as well.
Mark, as far as their forecast for the next couple weeks or so with the Penguins, I know so much of it is dependent on Letang and what's going to happen with him, but also, is there some sort of correlation that you see potentially with the power play waking up here? Could we see something there? And I don't know, is necessity the mother of invention? Do they have to think differently without Letang in the mix?
Well, I mean, you tell me, Tim, did the power play wake up or did it just score? And the goal of the game before was a 4-on-3.
Yeah, that was a 4-on-3, right, exactly. I thought they did their best work in that game against Vegas beneath the goal line. I thought they were very good in that context against the Golden Knights.
Yeah, but again, Tim, I just hate their power play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm probably never going to like it. I mean, they have guys rotating all over the place instead of being in set positions. They don't shoot enough. Crosby's not on the right half wall where he belongs, although he did rotate there quite a bit in that Vegas game, but nonetheless, I just don't like their power play.
They've got, what, Buffalo coming up. They've got the Blue Jackets coming up. They got a home-and-home, actually, with Buffalo now as they look ahead. There are some winnable games to be had. I'm interested in seeing Dallas, that Robertson kid. Like, that guy's on fire.
Yeah, if Sid's going to win the MVP when they play Dallas in a couple weeks, he has to cross-check Robertson in the face, I think.
He's up to 23 goals.
That guy right now, he's like the runaway MVP. I mean, he's just such a pure sniper. He reminds me of Solani when he broke in the league, when you just watch his highlights, and every time he gets an open chance, you expect it to wind up in the net.
And they are, I know they're leading the Central. I got to see how many points they've got here. They've got 33 at the time of recording. I don't know if they play tonight or not, but they got 33, so that's on top of the Central, which isn't a great division, but it's second best right now in the West, and he's the biggest reason why.
Well, yeah, but don't underestimate their team. They have a star at each level. They have Ottinger in goal. They have Heiskanen on defense. They have Robertson up front. They've got a good veteran group with Ben and Seguin who have matured well, which I didn't necessarily think Seguin would do, you know, accepting a different way of playing as he got older. So they got a shot. They got a good chance to move out west, I think.
Finally, Mark, Brian Reynolds apparently wants a trade. They're not disappointed. The Pirates said they're disappointed. They're not disappointed. They're thrilled that he wants a trade. Now they got an excuse to do it.
Yeah, and I like some of the stooges are saying now that, Reynolds doesn't fit into their expected window of contention, which I ask, oh, exactly when is that window? When does it open? When does it close? He's 27 years old. He's one of the best outfielders in baseball. Under no circumstances trading him a good thing.
Yeah, especially under the contract that they got him to. And if he wants a trade, tough. He signed the deal. He had to know what this was a part of.
Well, yeah, but don't forget, he hasn't signed anything through, past his arbitration. That's always like, whenever you talk about a long-term deal for a Pirate, if it doesn't eat up years past his arbitration, it's meaningless.
Oh, well, let me correct one thing, Mark, before we go. Minnesota played Dallas today. They lost in a shootout. I didn't realize that. That was an afternoon game today. I want to see if the kid, he did have another goal. He had a goal and assist, that Robertson kid.
Of course he did. Of course he did. One thing about the Pirates, too. The best level player they'll be able to keep is a guy like Key Brian Hayes. They'll never keep better than that. You know, a great player doesn't want to stay in Pittsburgh. Why would he? Like, I like some of the stooges saying, well, take that money we're going to give Reynolds and sign O'Neill Cruz long term. He's not going to sign 1 year past his arbitration. He's just not going to.
Mark, you're going to Vegas. Will you see any hockey out there? The Golden Knights at home while you're there?
No, everything kind of conflicts with my concert schedule. I'm just kind of sweating it because you recall, not my last trip when Aerosmith played. I did get to see Aerosmith the last trip. But the trip before that, Aerosmith canceled due to Steven Tyler going into rehab. And they just canceled the show Friday night because Tyler was ill. Although they do say that he'll be ready to go tomorrow night. But we'll see.
Well, good luck with it. Enjoy the time off. it's well earned. Well, it's earned. I'll give you that.
Tim, I'm ready to bust. I need to get. I'm like when I have to imagine that under 200 yards is a good game for quarterback in today's NFL. I need to not talk about it for a couple days.
Mark Madden will be back next week. We will still have Madden Ben's Unfiltered tomorrow, but not with Madden. A former Trib Live radio host, Guy Junker, filling in. We'll have that at 9:30 tomorrow here on Trib Live.